Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need to get to a little bit more basketball. A massive game last night, and it feels like time is flying and we have barely touched on it. So let's talk about a little bit about this banger last night. It was all OKC early. Indiana kind of stemmed the tide. And then Indiana does what we've seen Indiana do. They dig in, they get some stops, they make some adjustments, and they take control of the momentum of the game. And there are a lot of heroes for this Indiana team right now. Whether it's last night, you had Benedict Mathurin, had a massive game. TJ McConnell, huge spark. And Rick Carlisle just continues pushing the buttons. The man steering the ship has made all the right moves so far. And on top of it, you got great play again from your superstars, Haliburton and Siakam. Where do you want to start?
I think I'd start with the Mathurin and McConnell of it all, because those are the guys that mattered, that the others that we always talk about. When game two is Caruso and Wiggins for the Thunder, you know, they combined for 38 points. They hit 10 threes. They give you the stuff that, you know, allows you to build the lead up in the way that you do if you're the Thunder. And I thought in game three, particularly in that second quarter where TJ McConnell just gets five steals.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so damn disruptive. The Pacers crank out a 40-point second quarter. They really get loose, and that's when you saw the transition opportunities, getting the early shot clock opportunities. Haliburton was just finding everyone everywhere. Everyone was finding a way to contribute. Miles Turner had not a great three-quarter run.
But was huge in the fourth.
My God.
And finished with five blocks, I think.
I mean, that block on Chet when he closes out of the three-point line, just absolutely.
Well, and then he got him again on the back end of the play.
And you're just like, my goodness. And then Nembhard bodies Chet on a ball. It's not a 50-50 ball. It's a 20-80 ball. Chet has to come out with that ball. And Nembhard goes, nah, dog.
Mine.
Boom. Pulls it. Rips it out.
Yep.
You get, you know, the run out. And then SGA tries to go for a steal on the other side. And Siakam just slides right through and lays it in. That's ball game at that point.
By the way, on TJ McConnell, this stat from Tim Reynolds, it's the first time that someone off the bench has had a 10-point, 5-assist, 5-steal game in the NBA Finals ever.
Yep.
That impact is immeasurable for them.
And Ben Mathurin had the third highest scoring output off the bench in NBA history in the Finals. And if you look at the list of guys on that list, it is like, oh, you're talking about the best six men of all time.
Let me get that list for you, because I do have
Manu Ginobili, Jason Terry.
Players to score 25-plus in a finals game at 22 or younger. Kobe Bryant, Tony Parker, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Ben Mathurin. That's the list.
And none of those guys did it off the bench.
Nope. They were all starters all key players.
And when you talk about no matter what age, guys off the bench, it's the third highest scoring bench output in NBA Finals history. And the guys that are alongside him, like I mentioned, it's guys like Jason Terry and Manu Ginobili and Sam Cassell.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, like the dudes that help win titles.
And you mentioned Terry, most points off the bench in a game dropped since Jason Terry in 2011. Today, by the way, the anniversary of the Mavericks' first final.
The first final.
The first one that they won in 2011.
Okay, the one they won. Okay.
Yeah. Crowning.
So, yeah, it's 14 years ago today, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. So I want to talk about Ben Mathurin, though, because he is a dude who I wasn't sure coming out of Arizona was what to expect, because he has mad game as far as just physical ability. He's got bounce, but I almost, and the guy that I kind of likened him to is a dude that I covered when I was working for or working with the Sacramento Kings, a guy that they picked up, Ben McLemore. And obviously Ben Mathurin, a way bigger and better Ben at this point in time, but his trajectory, is it just more attention on him now because he's doing it under the spotlight, or has he been doing this all along?
When you're looking at the scouting profile, and I was trying to pull up my old tweets on him, the Mathurin prototype was, okay, here's this 6'5", 6'6", you know, supreme athlete. And when he had his moments at Arizona, it was pretty overwhelming at times. And you're like, yeah, I get it, but he was inconsistent. The shot was inconsistent. And yeah, he's a kid and all those kind of things. But it was like, okay, he's a guy that is going to be in the Blazers' range. And, you know, he gets taken a pick before with the Pacers grabbing him, or two picks before with Pacers grabbing him. And it was one of those situations where it was like, him and Shaedon Sharpe and Dyson Daniels were kind of in that same group of like, these are guys that have like outlier traits and skills, but sure, you just don't really know. Dyson has really delivered on his on the defensive end.
Yep.
Mathurin and Sharpe are kind of, I think, in similar molds of like
explosive offensive players.
The consistency, though.
Yeah.
But like when they have it rolling, you're like, damn.
That's... When they put it all together, the combination of talent and skill, you're like, oh, if you could bottle that up and keep doing that 28 minutes a night, that'd be awesome.
And I'm always caught off guard. Did you catch Mathurin post-game with SCP?
I did not.
So I'm always caught off guard by his voice. He's got a very
interesting.
Deep...
Where's he from initially? Where he grew up?
I think he's petitioned to play for the Jamaican national team, if I remember right.
But did he grow up in the U.S.?
I think he spent some time down in the Caribbean.
Let's find out. Canadian.
He is Canadian, but I think he spent some time in the Caribbean before going to Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Or it's either that or his parents were. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's French-Canadian. He's from Montreal, isn't he not?
Born and raised in Montreal, yeah. Grew up playing ice hockey and Canadian football as a quarterback, competed for the Quebec provincial basketball team, and then joined the NBA Academy in Latin America and Mexico City. Mm-hmm. So let's see. And
very
then,
internationally traveled.
Yeah. Well traveled.
But like, so he has, you hear a little bit of the French Canadian in his voice, but like, if you've ever heard Delano Banton talk, because he talks like he's from Toronto.
Okay.
There's a lot of, oh yeah, oh yeah. Like there's that yes, that up and down.
Sure.
Where Mathurin's is so steady. And he's like, you look at him talk, he barely blinks. He's so stoic and such a straight line. It always catches me off guard because he's still such a young kid. And you just don't often see young kids have that demeanor. And he's pretty damn even keel. And it's almost one of those things where like, well, Shaden's kind of the same, but it's more... even more reserved and dialed back. And you're trying, I think with both those guys, you're trying to get jumper cables on them and get them up a little bit. Right. But you know, Mathurin's production last night was incredible. The shot making was absurd. His ability to get where he wanted, when he wanted, and play in the chaos was just everything that the Pacers needed last night. And we talk about the offense of the Pacers so much. The Pacers held the Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the best offenses in the league, 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Final 5-7 minutes of that game, OKC didn't know what to do. They couldn't get anything. Chet couldn't get going.
I think they had one made field goal in the last 5:57 of the game.
And the shots they were getting up weren't exactly great looks.
No, they were tough looks. They were closed out, hand in the face.
The Pacers were flying everywhere on a string, disruptive. Like Rick Carlisle, you and I have talked about this. Rick Carlisle and his adjustments have been obscene. The Pacers are beating the ever-living crap out of the Thunder in the second half. That's just what has happened in all these games so far. They have found a way at halftime to make their adjustments and implement them damn near perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they got too far behind the eight ball in game two. If the Pacers can ever come out quick, like in game one, it was the turnovers, 19 turnovers in the first half.
Yeah.
Everybody talked about, well, if the Thunder had just hit their shots, I'm like, what happens if the Pacers
just
take care of
the
ball?
Yep.
This game's over.
Yep.
It's not a Tyrese Halliburton game winner necessary.
You don't need to dig yourself out of an almost 20-point hole.
No, they're running away with a game.
Yeah. And so that then, and we'll answer this question on the other side of the break, that then begs the question, who actually has the upper hand at this point? Because the odds might say one thing, but another team has the 2-1 lead nearly halfway through the finals. We'll keep unpacking it next. Danny and friends, 1080 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking a little NBA Finals here, and I was a little bit surprised by this specific figure. I often look at sports stuff through the betting lens. I think it's in addition to being fun,
degeneracy.
In addition to having fun gambling, I do think what the lines tell you or can tell you about probabilities and likelihoods and what the public thinks of those probabilities and likelihoods can be fascinating. And so I thought certainly that after the Pacers won last night at home to take a 2-1 lead, they've got the same number of games in both teams' buildings now the rest of the way. I was stunned that the Pacers are still not favorites to win the NBA Finals. At this point in time, irrelevant of the odds, if I said, Danny, you have to tell me right now who's going to lift the trophy, is it the Pacers or is it the Thunder? It's a really tough ask with them having one game in hand. At least I think.
My head says the Thunder. My heart says the Pacers. There's something about this Pacers team, and this is where you get into the intrinsic stuff of the math and the algorithms and everything that drives all this stuff. And it's all designed by people that are some of the brightest, literal brightest mathematicians on the planet. Like, those palaces in the desert weren't made on guesses. Yep. Like, I got the opportunity to meet a couple lines makers when I was at a sports book a couple years ago. They were all MIT.
Yeah, like, they're really smart individuals.
These are people who could go do literally anything in their field, but they make the most money making these lines and these algorithms and these probability charts for these casinos, because it makes these guys literally get paid millions of dollars to do this. Mm-hmm. And they work in a little black box that's about as classified and secret in the business world as military secrets. It's nuts, the stuff that goes into this. I said it multiple times. There is a real path for the Pacers to win this series coming into this series. Mm-hmm. I'm not switching up now like that. I do very much believe that. Looking at Friday's game, the Thunder are 5.5-point favorites again. Mm-hmm. It's the same line they had coming into last night's game.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can not change the line. I really don't.
Yeah. I feel similarly. They keep showing us who they are, they being the Pacers, and it kind of feels like it doesn't have the ripple effect that you would have. And the reason I bring this up, and I mentioned through the betting lens, is that this morning, and depending on where you're looking at the odds, it's a little bit different, but you're essentially looking at a 2-1 ticket on the Pacers to lift the trophy and about -180 on the Thunder. So essentially, if I gave you $100 to put down and said, okay, do you want to put this down to win 50 on the Thunder or 200 on the Pacers? Mm-hmm. That's what the books are asking right now. And I'm surprised at that discrepancy.
I am too. And look, the reason is because the math over the longer haul.
Sure.
What the Thunder have done both offensively, defensively, limiting their own turnovers, forcing turnovers. Because like when you're talking about the math behind this, it's
when
not
you talk MIT guys, this is all baked into their algorithms.
And what they're factoring in is like the all of the variables that go into this. It's quite literally a math problem. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they devise formulas for generating turnovers and likelihood based on each individual player's metrics of like how successfully they either generate turnovers or convert turnovers into points. How many possessions will then turn out in a given game? They run these scenarios through, you know, multiple, you know, servers that are, you know, pressing this stuff. It's like Christopher Nolan, you know, the interstellar black hole. It was something like 100 computing hours necessary to process every single second of the black hole.
Okay.
Because it was rendered and done with as much realism as humanly possible. And now they have multiple servers that are running this, so it's computing hours. So it doesn't actually take 100 hours. But that, like, when you're talking computing power, that's what it would have taken to process this kind of stuff. And it's the same kind of thing that goes into this. They run these simulations 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 times to be able to churn this stuff out in order to give you that's how you get those win probability scales. But those win probability scales have been thrown upside down, backwards, forwards, in every which way with the Pacers, not once, not twice, not three, not four, but five times this year in just the playoffs. And the wrench that there becomes a certain point where like this team becomes a team of destiny, and it starts feeling.
And hasn't it already felt that way a lot for them?
This is like the longer drawn out version of the U.S. versus the Soviets. This is the miracle on ice.
Sure.
This was not supposed to happen this way.
At a number of turns.
And yet it keeps happening. At some point in time, you have to just kind of crumple up the data and go, what are the results?
Yeah.
And now Vegas doesn't make their money doing that.
No. And they will still stick by. I mean, they are so team agnostic. You can strip away the logos, strip away the cities, and strip away the personnel. They will look at the numbers and they will make it based on that. Mm-hmm. It's completely objective. Numbers I'm not sure that they are taking into account, because I'm not sure how you would put this in specifically. Do you know the last time the Pacers lost back-to-back games?
I'm going to say like February.
Close. March 8th and 10th. Yeah. So it's been months. I mean, for perspective, Oregon Ducks were still playing basketball March 8th and 10th. Like, this is a long-ass time ago. And the fact that, again, credit to Carlisle, when something goes wrong, they fix it, and they fix it quickly. If you're not going to undergo a streak of losses here, if you're not going to lose back-to-back, then they're going to win this thing.
And that's the thing is, like, the stat that I mentioned, the Pacers have not trailed in a series yet.
Yep.
Like, that's got to be something that's taken into consideration. And you got to give Carlisle his credit, Halliburton. Even though Hallie didn't have like the most electric game we've ever seen him have, his aggression last night was
late, and he was clutch,
noticeably different.
Yep. Like, it was assertive.
My evaluation on Halliburton when he came out, I mentioned this early on in the playoffs. Coming into the draft, I go, the more I watch on him, the more I'm like, he's a more awkward right-handed Mike Conley.
Okay,
always has control of the game. Is a good enough shooter, but can get to his spots whenever he wants.
But doesn't look orthodox getting there.
Exactly. And the other thing that stood out is his floater. And he used that floater so much last night. Every time he needed to make something happen, he gets in there, and his touch is immaculate. It is impeccable. He gets to his spots, and the defense collapses just enough, and he's like, you have to worry about him because the jump passes, so the defense freezes for that split second.
Yeah.
He had that play on Cason Wallace with a pass fake.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh!
That was so good.
I mean, Cason Wallace turns the other way, like, and it just pulls the three like it's nothing.
I did that one time in an open gym in college, and I felt like a god.
Oh, you got to hit the shot.
Oh, that's the thing.
It's like you got.
If you don't knock it down, it doesn't matter.
Now it's like, oh, like when you cross somebody over, you get them to fall down, you get a guy with a look off or something like that. You have to
finish
the shot.
It.
And that's the thing about Halliburton. Every time he seemingly needs to do the thing, he does it.
Yeah, that's why now his new nickname at the moment. Have you seen that Basketball Reference official? hard to argue with. A couple other stats I wanted to throw your way that I just found interesting. Under the current 2-2-1-1-1 format, the lower seeded teams, in this case the Pacers, have yet to win in a trailing a 2-1 deficit. So they would have to make history in order to do this.
3-1's the death nail.
Yes.
We've only won.
One time.
One time. Your beloved Dubs fall on the backside of that. It doesn't happen in basketball.
Yeah, like it's really rare.
It's
the home team or the team that starts with the home advantage usually takes advantage of that.
Yeah, and I want to say it's something like if the home team goes up 1-0, it's something like 72%.
I wanted to say it was like 81. It might even, but it's way high.
Like if the home team 70s, wins game 80s. One, it's yeah. It's like
yep.
The math just says 3/4+. Basically.
And of course, they didn't in this case.
And that's mark number one. You steal home court and then you win at home again to take a 2-1 lead. Like when you get 2-1, yeah, you could just say, well, you know, the OKC could come out there and do what they did in game two and run away with this and tie this up, and it reverses it all. It doesn't, because now if you get to that point, you're getting into we are now at a best of four.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, and
whoever gets to two first basically is, you know,
yeah,
that's going to be your winner.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. The other thing, and I don't know, I'd be curious about your take on this as well, and then we'll turn the page and move over to the US Open real quick, but the Thunder I saw after last night are now 0-8 against the spread on the road this postseason. They have not covered, and granted, they've been big favorites in most of those road games, so it's just not necessarily winning by margin, but
they had a 14.5 point
but that also game. Tells you that they are not performing at least to the algorithm expectations on the road,
which is why you have to give, particularly in this case, the Pacers the credit, because the math says they're gonna do X, and the Pacers are not allowing them to do that.
And it hasn't gotten to that point yet. So now the question is, can they make the shift? Does Daigneault have the chops to make their adjustments, and what does that look like? I mean, I'll be fascinated to see how the rest of this thing plays out, because
it's not just a play better button.
No, it's not. It's not just a hit a couple more shots. Mm-hmm. Like they're not. You mentioned earlier, they're not getting good looks.
No.
Like they're getting kind of shut down and beat at the game that they want to play. Mm-hmm. And now they're facing an uphill climb. Until last night, I still wasn't. You gave the Pacers a chance. I still really hadn't, even though they'd shown it many times over. Now I feel like you have to take them seriously. And even though the betting line wouldn't suggest that they're the favorites, I'd be leaning towards betting them as the favorites at this point. We got to get to the U.S. Open. It's still carnage out there. We'll get to that next. But first, Schultz at SportsCenter.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan. Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Round one at Oakmont, still going, and some really big names still out on the course through 10, 11, 12 holes, but the course has been an absolute beast today. It started off okay, it started to get baked out, and now it seems like as the sun's going down there, it's becoming, I don't know about favorable, but a little bit more playable.
It's sucking less.
But tons and tons of low scores. Right now, there are, let's see.
Six golfers, three under or better, with the leading score, J.J. Spaun, four under. He was in the first group?
That's one of either the first group off or the second group off. Yeah. But yeah, he was in one of the very first groups today. He was hot with the flat stick. I think he hit six putts over 7 feet or longer. And now here to analyze the U.S. Open first round, one Isaac Ropp. He even brought his golf clubs with him today. Oh, no, he's not going to actually help us here.
No,
he's not. But the U.S.
He needs his glasses so he can put his driver together.
Right now, 25 players are even par or better. 25 out of 155. It's a massive field. Mm-hmm. The reason it's called the U.S. Open, anybody can play in it. Anybody can qualify. Anybody has. In fact, this year you and I were talking about it off air, but there is a golfer by the name of Matt Vogt, who is a dentist out of Indianapolis, former stick who used to play in college, did some long drive stuff, and said, I wonder if I could win one of these sectionals. And he did just that. Mm. He went out, flew from Indy to Washington, played the Walla Walla sectional. Now he's out there playing for a chance to try to get to the weekend, but he's not going to. He went 12 over today. I saw plenty.
Well, that's respectable.
Very much so for the dentist who plays on the weekends.
You played under bogey golf.
Yes.
At the U.S. Open at what is universally considered one of the toughest courses on the planet.
Well, put in perspective, Shane Lowry is an excellent golfer, mm-hmm. a world top 20 type of guy. He had an eagle today and still finished 9 over par. Mm-hmm. An eagle takes two strokes off. You lose that eagle, you're one stroke away from Shane Lowry, the dentist. And so that's the thing about this course is the way they have it set up, and obviously the U.S. Open typically known for being exceptionally tough conditions, but it's supposed to be a field leveler and make it so that almost anybody can be competitive if you can play controlled golf. And I don't know about you and how much golf you watch. Do you like more when they have formats like this that are more challenging and challenge the golfers? Or do you want to see these guys flex whatever they got and have a big birdie fest? Are you somewhere in between?
No, I like this. This is what I want to see. I want to see guys stand over the ball, look down, look at the shot, look at their caddy, and question every bit of life that is in front of them.
And because, that's what you're
saying. Because otherwise, like, you get to, like, at the Sawgrass, you know, you can see some crazy scores down mm-hmm. there. The Waste Management Open, like, you guys just go nuts. And that can be fun. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't get me, you know, was it 16th that you've got the gallery hole where everybody's just on top of you?
Yep.
That's fun and all that. I want to see the best golfers in the world cry.
I want to see him have to work.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing is that the technology's gotten so good and the athleticism across mm-hmm. the board has gotten so good that you can play these tournaments where a dude's whole purpose on the tee is just to swing it as hard as he can and get the ball as far as he can and figure it out when he gets there.
Yeah.
This is a course where figuring out when you get there is not a good option.
No, you have to have a plan, and it's very Mike Tyson-y in the sense of everyone's got a plan until they get hit, and that one ball ends up in that second cut, or you end up in a bunker, or you end up on the wrong side of a green, and you watch these putts. We saw one guy earlier hit about a 90-footer.
Yeah.
It was just bonkers. But, I mean, you know, we talk about the stimp meter and how fast these greens are. It's not just that they're fast. The undulation of these greens is just nuts. And if you are 1 foot out of, like, what they have the overlay of, like, where everybody's hitting, it's kind mm-hmm. of like a bullseye walked in kind of a deal.
Yeah.
If you are outside this circle, you have a 0% chance, basically, of scoring on this hole, saving whatsoever, unless you hit the miraculous 90-footer.
And just for reference as to how fast these greens are, I mean, people always talk about Augusta being glassy and whatnot. The stimp meter, which was made to measure putt speed, mm-hmm. was invented here at this course to mm-hmm. be able to determine just how fast they were making it. And on top of that, I learned from Isaac yesterday that this is the only course on the U.S. Open circuit in which the USGA comes in and has to slow it down. All the other ones all around the U.S. that host this tournament, they speed them up because they want to make it harder for the golfers. They get there and go, God, this club's already really hard. We better make it a little easier.
And that was the thing is that they've taken down, if you've watched today, you'll notice that there's a distinct lack of trees.
Yeah. They've
taken a lot of trees out because they wanted it to be more open because of how difficult the course is. And they wanted guys to have the sight lines because of like where they were going to end up.
Well, let's take a look at the leaderboard because it's not the names that you would normally expect. Sitting atop, we mentioned JJ Spahn. He was 4-under. He's in the clubhouse. Sungjae Im is tied with him right now. He's only through 12. Tristan Lawrence and Matthew Pavone, as well as Rasmus Nygaard Petersen, are all tied for 3rd at 3-under par. None of these are household names. Continues with Siwoo Kim. People, I guess, maybe know Sam Burns. John Rahm is a person people certainly are familiar with. But you look at what some of the best golfers in the world did today. I mentioned Lowry plus 9. Justin Thomas is already 5-over, and he's only through 14. Rory was 4-over. Bryson was 3-over. Watch Bryson and Rory both have instances around the green trying to chip, and they couldn't get their ball from the rough to the short stuff. You want to talk about the great equalizer. The dudes who are going to be accurate this week are going to have the best chance, but it's also the way that it's cause problems for multiple people. Nobody's out of it yet either, at least if you haven't had a huge blow up.
No, and even like the par threes, like do we have the scoring yet for the par threes?
I don't, let's see. I don't have the scoring yet for the par threes. What I do know is that one of the other things this course is offering is the longest par three in U.S. Open history.
Ding, 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 ding.
The 289 yard par three.
Yeah. And I saw a clip of Bryson in his practice round. He's like 289 par three. All right, let's go ahead and see how we do here. He hit a great tee shot in his practice round. He's like, okay, if I could just do that every time this weekend, that'd be great.
And Bryson's got so much length that he actually has some options there. I watched Colin Morikawa on his practice round go out and go, well, I guess it's driver.
He's like,
and he's a freaking pro, par three.
He's in the practice round, and he goes, am I the only one hitting driver off the tee here?
Like, yeah.
And it was just like,
and this is a top 10 in the world golfer.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the challenges of this golf course throws at everyone is it's like that's to me what I love is I want to see, look, don't get me wrong, on Sunday I want to see their,
you hope big names are in the mix.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like I want that to happen, and you would think with the course being more difficult that is going to allow the guys that can play well can like
the best players should be able to kind of grind their way up the board, yes, a little bit, so
like,
to speak.
You might have a guy like a JJ Spahn who gets lucky, mm-hmm. gets early in the day. Can he keep this going?
Yeah,
because if he can, it's cool when you get the guy who's not expected to be there, doesn't just do it one day, does it 2 days, does mm-hmm. it 3 days, and then going into Sunday.
It's the Pacers.
We get to see, does he have the medal?
Yeah.
Is he going to break? Like,
because he keeps showing us, and he keeps showing us, and he keeps showing us, but then when he's facing the big dog in game 7, what does it look like?
You know, Rory and Spieth and you know everybody else, you know, Scheffler, Schauffele, like whoever it is, they're right there behind you on Sunday, and you're going, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. I got to do this. And that's when the one outlier is always fun to have in that final like four groups.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about how the average man would handle this course. Jason Sobel, who's a renowned golf writer, basically said if you were an 18 handicap, like a bogey golfer, mm-hmm. you wouldn't bother coming out. It would be miserable. And there's the guys who do the Foreplay podcast on Barstool. Whether you take or leave Barstool, they get remarkable access,
yes.
to the golf.
They played the course.
They played all 18 holes.
Yeah.
And all three of those guys are between 10 and 15 mm-hmm. handicaps. And there's one of them, I think, shot a 96.
Yeah.
And then it was like 106, 108 or yeah. something like that.
Which is
great.
They played well considering what they are.
And they're not good, but they play all the time and have mm. decent swings. They can navigate courses, and it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was an absolute nightmare. So clearly, it's not for the everyman. It's not even for some of the pro golfers, yeah. as there have been some massive struggles out there. But I, like you, like seeing the challenge. It's much different than most of the other majors as far as what the final winning score is going to look like. Right now on today, the low score, 4-under par. Be interested to see what that score looks like and whether they try to make it tougher or whether the weather makes it tougher. throughout the weekend. Going to wrap things up here on the show. Coming up next, should this better cash out with the Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final coming tonight? And I'm doing a thing this weekend. We'll talk about it. Danny and friends, 1080 The Fan. The 11th annual Fan Golf Classic presented by your local Toyota dealers. The afternoon round is full, but you can still tee it up with us in the morning rounds. Going to be presented by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, as well as Philbrook Law and Accident Injury Lawyers. We'll have Matt's Barbecue out there with some food and guaranteed good times. That course always in pristine shape. Thankfully, the rough not as long as out at Oakmont.
But the rough is very well kept out there.
It's really well. That's what I'm saying. It's
very
far
green.
More favorable and kind to the golfer.
It is, but it is a thicker rough there. I do like that about out there. It's very thick and luscious.
And the course has character. There are certain holes you have to play them a certain way to be successful on them. And even though my game as a golfer isn't super tight, I like the holes where you have to think about how you're going to get from tee to green.
At Langdon, obviously, with the hole with all the hosts will be spending the time at the sixth hole. At one of these points in time, like, I would love to see them in the backdrop to set up like a big poster of the Happy Gilmore clown.
Because I like that.
That hole is a clown hole. Like it is.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's just a big. It's a par three. It's just a big mound for a green.
It's a nipple. It's small and it's round on all sides. And
unless you land
right on top, you're rolling off.
And watching people on either side of the green hit back and forth over it.
That could be agonizing.
It happens every single time.
It's happened to me.
Oh, you just watch it back and forth and back and forth, and you're like, oh boy, this is it's not going to be good for the handicap.
We do get Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in Florida between the Panthers and the Oilers, and I know that we're not necessarily a big puck podcast. Game 3 was a bludgeoning by the Panthers. 7-1, I think, was the final.
They just poured it on.
And then everybody was fighting by the end of the game. Mm-hmm. It looked like Slapshot out there. Two dudes went like toe-to-toe for over 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. It was really good theater, despite being a blowout. But the thing that keeps popping up in my timeline is this one bettor who has a $13 bet on 5 different league champions. Mm-hmm. He's got 3 in the bag already. He got the LA Dodgers, he got the New York Liberty, and he got the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's already got some work done.
What was the plus payout on this?
So let's see. It's plus... without commas, I can't even tell you. Plus 2082680. Basically, his $13 million was going to pay over $250,000 of all of these hit. His $13. Did I say $13 million? Yeah. No, his $13 paying over $250,000. The payout would have been $270,000 plus. So going into game before either the Oilers or the Thunder,
is that Monday?
So he is on, and I feel like I neglected to say that. Yeah. He's on the Oilers and he's on the Thunder.
Yes.
Those are the last two that he needs, and he's got 3 in the bag. Going into game one of both, when neither series had started yet, he had a $106,000 offer on the table. I would agree.
Yeah.
But then, hockey was the first one to go off, and the one that, just from a betting standpoint, you would have been least confident about winning between those two would be the Oilers. Mm-hmm. And the Oilers win game one. And so now, that goes up. It goes up to 126. So they added an extra 20,000 because the Oilers now one game closer to getting it. But then the Pacers take game one, and so his Thunder ticket slips back a little bit, and it's back into the $100,000 range. Well, then the Panthers even the series. The Panthers get another one. Now the Thunder have dropped another one. Mm-hmm. So both of the teams he needs are facing a 2-1 deficit. His offer that was up to $126,000, now down to $60,000.
Take it.
You got to cash out at some point, right? He keeps saying...
It's a $13 ticket.
Yeah, and he keeps saying... I'm going for the 270. Not at this pace, you're not.
No.
So, and I wouldn't even want to say cut your losses. Cut your winnings. Just get out of there.
The second it hits six figures, I'm out.
Yeah, should have been.
I'm out.
Or I can even see a world where maybe you're trying to hedge against it. You're like, you're trying to find some way to thread the needle. But this is a kid who is posting his stuff on TikTok. He attended the last hockey game in Florida and watched the opposite result if he needed, with the Oilers getting absolutely smacked.
I would want no part of that.
Yeah. And so he's updating stuff. You can find him on Twitter. I mean, the ticket is with DraftKings. Mm-hmm. So they are posting his updates and TikToks all the time for coverage. But it's pretty fascinating to see what happens. I hope for his sake he cashes out, but he also seems cocky, so he probably won't, and if he doesn't, then he deserves it.
There was another ticket that was like this that had a bunch of title winners. That the ticket was from like August of last year, and it was around that amount. I think it ended up being like a $50 ticket, but I remember this guy ended up cashing out. I want to say it was like 360 something or 370 that he cashed out.
Oh, beauty. Beauty.
But I think he had like four of the five title winners. Mm-hmm. And because he put $50 on it,
yeah,
it juiced the living hell out
yeah.
of it. And it was one of those things where it's like, with hindsight, it's like, yeah, those title picks are pretty spot on. Well, but it's like when you're making that play in August, though, yeah. it's very different.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is there's different schools of thought. There's still some people that say, you still only stand to lose $13. Go for it. But, like, the offer's there. The money's there if you just say yes.
Look, I mean, anytime if you ever have one of those opportunities, like, I've made some pretty sizable bets in my lifetime for me, but I never had any, like, cash-out options because they were always single bets. It was always, you know, to win X.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
The only long scope bet I ever made, I mentioned this God knows how many times, was the 2015 Blazers. The total was 26.5. I took the over on that. But that thing hit, I want to say, in like January.
Nice.
So it was like, yeah, we're good here. When I'm in Vegas next year for Summer League, I'll go ahead and cash that thing out.
Last year, me and Suk were on the Blazers season under, which hit very early. Mm. So that worked fine. I'm doing a triathlon this weekend for the Ooh. First time. Part of my weight loss journey decided that was something I was going to try to conquer. The hay is in the barn. The training's done. Any tips from you?
Nipple tape.
Nipple tape. Yeah, you know what? Dusty talked to me about a anti-chafing thing called Body Glide mm-hmm. that... Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get into that.
Oh, you will if you don't.
I got to make it about two and a half hours.
A bare That's minimum gold bond, brother.
Okay, well, I'll come with reinforcements. Want to thank Danny for having me in here mm-hmm. in this chair today. Thank all of you for listening. Thanks to Schultze for doing all the heavy lifting for us. For Primetime, coming up next, 4 hours of power, 3 to 7, from their mouths to your ears. I've been Ryan Buckley. Thank you for listening to Danny and Friends.
Take care. Talk soon. Bye.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.